Today's episode of Distorted View features additional content for Sideshow members only. Ting!
You know, my dick is actually only this long, and when it's in the pump, it grows an extra 3 inches. But the real difference is in the thickness. It's like the difference between a hot dog and a salami.
Hot dog?
I got the hot dog up to my mouth again, and I was ready to bite, and the scream got louder.
Hey, yeah! Where is it?
It's Sextastic Tuesday.
Hey freaks, it's Tuesday, September 7th, 2010. Coming up on the program today, copycat rape plus an impaled dick and cancer patients love to go shrooming. All of this plus your emails in a brand new edition of Sextastic Tuesday on an extended episode of Distorted View Daily.
It's the Distorted View Show with Tim Henson.
Oh, yes! It's going to be a good show. I'm a piggy, like Wilbur from Charlotte's Web. Yes, Timothy Templeton Henson, I found you a word. Crunchy. Obscure reference there. Got a great program for you. It is Tuesday, which means this is Sextastic Tuesday. It's a stupid bit where I try to find horribly written or bizarre or disgusting, just wrong porn, and I share it with you. I read you these pieces of erotic fiction in a segment we call Sextastic Tuesday, and let's get into it right now. Today's story was actually sent in by DV listener Amo from Ohio. It's either Amo or he's trying to say that he's Amo from Ohio. I don't know. But anyways, let's get into it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Sextastic Tuesday.
It's Sextastic.
Real quick, before we get into the story, I would like to share with you a piece of a very short piece of audio of me being stupid. And I didn't realize I was recording myself, because what happens is sometimes when I'm going to record a bit or I don't know what I was going to record. I think I was going to record myself singing Next Time I Fall in Love by Peter Cetera and Amy Grant. I don't know why. I was going to somehow then work it into the show, but I really wanted to sing that song. But anyways, for whatever reason, I left my mic on before I was ready to start recording. And I was eating Cheetos, and this is what I said. I don't know why I said this.
Crazy crackers.
I didn't know I was recording myself. I have no idea what that was in reference to, why I was screaming crazy crackers. I'm like...
Crazy crackers.
Like I have Tourette's or something.
Crazy crackers.
Also, I would like to mention that I'm alone down here. There's no one... I'm not talking to anyone. I mean, when I'm recording the show, it makes sense. I'm speaking, but... You know, when I don't even think that the microphone is on, I still talk to myself, I guess.
Crazy crackers!
All right, enough of that. Today's Sextastic Tuesday is actually a piece of fan fiction. Oh, these stories are always fun to read. You know what this is? Huh? You will in a second. I wanna be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test. Oh, to train them is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide. Each Pokemon to understand the power that's inside. 2, 3, 4, Pokemon! It's you and me. I know it's my destiny.
Pokemon!
Oh, you're my best friend. In a world we must defend. 2, 3, 4. All right, that's quite enough. Between Pokemon and The Next Time I Fall in Love, it's just it's too much singing today. The next time I fall in love, the next time I fall in love, it'll be with you. Nya, 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 nya. Meow, meow, meow. All right, okay, I'm sorry. Way off track here. I think Henrietta Pussycat made an appearance at the end of that song.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow. Yes, meow, meow. Next time I meow, meow, fall in love.
All right, so yes, Pokemon
fan fiction right now. Let me give you a synopsis of what's going on here, because I'm going to fast forward through a couple pages of this story. I was going to say crap, but I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to give this a chance. I don't know why I'm going to bother, but yes. So Ash, you know, the main character of Pokemon, he's the one with the Pokeballs and the, you know, Pikachu and all that bullshit. So Ash, our main character, meets a girl named Macy, and Macy's very mysterious. Okay, she drugs him. And now the roofie is starting to wear off, and Ash is waking up, and that's where we're going to pick up on the story. All right. Everything's so dark, so painful. Where am I? What happened to Macy? I feel like my life's literally draining out of me. Yet I'm so hot. Where'd this heat come from? What is this light? He awoke to a radiant fluorescent light hanging directly above him. He was drenched in sweat, yet he felt lighter than air. He lifted his head and realized that he was in a bedroom, with a tray of random metallic instruments to his side. Uh-oh. Red flag. There was a small towel wrapped around his mouth, and he discovered that his limbs were tied to the corners of the bed.
Ooh, finally awake, are we?
Macy asked as she entered the room. Moo! Moo! A muffled Ash yelled, struggling to move his body.
Oh, I'd save my strength if I were you. It's gonna be a long night, Macy said, chuckling to herself.
Moo! Who's your moo? Ash asked with reasonable intent.
Just relax. It'll all be over soon, Macy responded as she began to undress.
Ooh. Oh, I get it now. She's one of them freaky ones. She doesn't exactly have much to show, but it's better than nothing, I guess, Ash thought to himself as she removed the last article of clothing from her body. She walked over to the side of the bed and yanked off the sheet that covered young Ash, only for him to discover that he was completely naked and the wound remained untreated. Apparently, Ash was injured. It's part of the stuff that I skipped over. Boring. Let's get to the sex.
Now, we should start by taking care of this.
Macy pointed to what Ash thought was his growing member, only to discover that she was referring to his injury.
I'll be right back.
She left the room for several minutes. She returned with several bottles of assorted minerals and liquids.
Now, let's see. What would be a good starter?
She asked herself as she examined each one.
Oh, this'll work, she said
as she held up the can of salt. She returned to the bedside and picked up what was similar to a metallic nail file. Is she gonna use that stuff to fix my wound? Ash thought nervously. She immediately stepped onto the bed with her back facing him and slowly sat on his stomach. Hot. His flaccid penis was slightly touching her young womanhood, while such a thought caused his penis to slowly harden once more. I'm sorry. The next thing he felt was cold metal making contact with his wound as she began to grind the instrument up against his cut, causing the hardening wound to reopen and spew blood. The pain was almost unbearable as he started to scream while his eyes began to fill with tears.
Now we'll just add the salt and...
She began pouring salt into the gaping wound. This woman is not a nurse, Ash. You've made a bad, bad call here, letting her tend to you. Causing a burning sensation that consumed his entire leg. His screams grew louder with each passing second, as the smile on her face grew wider. She's getting off on this.
Oh, come on now. We've only just started, she said,
as she reached for the tartar scraper that lay on the tray beside her. She slowly began to drag it across his parted skin as she cut through several more layers. She continued this for several minutes. By this point, Ash had used all of his energy through various jerking motions and, of course, screaming. Why don't you just call upon Squirtle to help you? All right, by the 12th or 13th time of both slicing through his skin and applying salt to the area, she finally made it through his entire muscle, not to mention nerves, and it began to scrape against his bone. Ah! The sound alone made him cringe, but each point of friction between the scraper and his bone sent a jolt of pain throughout his entire lower region. Okay, two things. One, this is not a very sexy Sextastic Tuesday story, and two, who is the sick fuck who wrote this thing? Why do I keep burping? I'm so gassy today. But the show must go on, because I'm a professional. Alright, here we go. Let's continue on here. All that could escape his mouth by this point were high-pitched grunts and dry heaves.
All right, I think that's about enough of that, she said,
showing some fucking mercy, finally. She said as she lifted herself off of his stomach. She turned to face him, only to see that his vision was fixed on the crimson-white mess that lay at the foot of the bed. I know, freaks, I'm sorry. It's ridiculous. All right. She stared into his eyes, which were caked in pure fear. Ooh, that's a good line. Caked in pure fear. At the damage she had caused him. She then sat down between his knees as she grabbed his penis and began stroking it rather softly. Despite this unspeakable pain that consumed his lower body, he was still able to become erect from such an action. Yeah, right. That's more like it, she said cheerfully. She began rubbing the tip against her soft womanhood. Her bud. She started letting out soft moans as her blush expressionless... What? As her blush expressionless then mirrored Ash's horrified gaze. Whatever. She got up and slowly lowered herself onto his erection as she slowly took in his... Alright, she just sawed through his... Like, she was scraping his bone and, like, muscle and shit. And now he's fucking her? I would not give her the satisfaction. Alright, whatever. At this point, the blood loss had caused him to lose feeling in his leg, allowing him to enjoy his current experience a bit more. I'm sorry, I would not be enjoying that experience if I lost feeling in my leg. Oh, it's gonna have to be amputated. Oh well, might as well enjoy the pussy riding my cock. She bounced up and down on him, scratching his chest to the point of bleeding and screaming in ecstasy. This one's for you, Spider. DV listener and pain slut. Alright. While he continued to remain silent. This continued for several minutes before she felt his shaft begin to throb. She quickly removed herself, for this was a sign that he was almost ready to release. Ah! We can't have you do that now! We've only just begun, she said. I don't know why her voice has changed in the middle of the story, but whatever. She reached for the rigid knife on the tray. His eyes grew wide with fear as to what her intentions were. She once more faced him, and a devilish look formed across her face. She took the knife and began lightly moving it across the bottom of his still erect penis. See, that would immediately cause my cock to shrivel up and retract into my body, I would think. All right, so yes, she's scraping this knife gently across his shaft. The second time, it wasn't so gentle, however, as she quickly and forcefully swiped it across the same spot, creating a large cut across the bottom of his penis. Blood began pouring out of the new wound as she laughed to herself, while all that could be heard from Ash was his crying as he began choking back vomit. She began to rub her finger against the cut, eyeing the wound with a lustful expression. After a moment, she suddenly jammed her finger within the cunt. I'm sorry, cut. I'm so used to reading Sextastic Tuesday stories where fingers are jammed into cunts. I misread that. So after a moment, she suddenly jammed her finger within the cut and began violently swirling it around. She said, "Did you see what I did? I stuck my finger in your fucking cut hole." No, she didn't say that. It was as if his eyes were glued shut as he finally let loose vomit, soaking up into the towel and dripping down the sides of his mouth. She had noticed that his cock was slowly losing wood. No fucking shit! So she swiftly removed her finger, while moving her arm under his leg and lifting his body a few inches. If he is able to get another erection after this, he's more sick than this bitch. Alright, her other hand began to creep along his backside until she discovered the location of his chocolate maker. Descriptive. She jammed her finger into his ash hole. With the same lack of subtlety, searching for his manly prostate, and proceeded to apply pressure to said manly prostate. She finally succeeded and watched as his penis grew several more inches in both length and girth. How is that possible? If you cut the penis so blood is spewing out of it, that's how cocks get larger. Because blood is... Oh, this is so stupid. His wound spurting blood onto her forearm as she giggled. She removed her finger and decided to wipe it off on the inside of his nostril. Okay. The mixed scent of sweat, vomit, blood, and feces caused him to vomit once more, pooling around the sides of his head and leaking through the sheets. There we go! Now let's have some real fun! Like, everything up to this point has just been, like, foreplay or something. She reached once more for the knife and held it as one would hold a pencil. She grabbed his cock with her other hand, covering the previous wound, and slowly brought the tip of the knife towards his tip. He looked on in pure horror as she placed the tip of the knife within his pee hole. She let it lay there for a few seconds and giggled.
Okay, here we go. And one, and two.
She said cheerfully, as she lightly pushed down on the knife, causing it to sink further into his cock hole. He finally opened his eyes to see what she had done, while she simultaneously jammed the knife with full force into his cock. Less than an inch of the blade was visible as blood began pouring out of his hole of manly manhood. His screams were finally revived as he let out a shriek that nearly cracked the windows within the room, despite his vomit-soaked gag ball. This only forced her to grasp the knife and twist it forcefully, which quickly silenced the young sex toy. Tears of pain had now blinded him, which he was rather grateful for. She swiftly removed the knife as a volcano of blood erupted from his cock. Hopefully this will help you remember who I am next time. Then she quickly made a large cut into his scrotal skin, causing a large portion of blood and semen to expel from the wound. She then lifted the scrotum and placed a small block of wood under it as she forced the testicle out of its flesh pocket. The purple-brown chunk lay bare on the oak finish as she once more reached for the knife. She regained her spot between his legs as he opened his eyes to see that both of her hands were over her head, grasping the knife.
Say goodbye,
she said cheerfully as she threw her hands down while he forced his eyes shut. The end. There you go. That's Sextastic Tuesday. That was a really good Sextastic Tuesday story, in my humble opinion. Thank you very much, A-hole, or A-mo, or whatever the fuck your name was. A-ho. What was his name? Guess it doesn't matter, but thank you very much, A-mo. Sextastic Tuesday is brought to you by our good friends at AdamandEve.com. If you like this story, I can't really say that you're going to find similar stuff on Adam and Eve, but they've got a lot of sex toys, dildos, vibrators, penis pumps, pocket pussies, lingerie, movies, whatever you want in the sexual realm of things. AdamandEve.com probably has you covered. And for a limited time, you can get 50% off. That's half off just about any item. Find something you like. Use coupon code FREAK. FREAK at checkout. There's a little spot for a coupon code. You'll automatically see your 50% discount. Plus, you're going to get free shipping. They're going to throw in 3 free adult DVDs to help you get off properly, because this story probably did not help you in that department. And you're going to get a special mystery gift, all for using coupon code FREAK at AdamandEve.com. There's a link on the show notes. They've been a sponsor now for a while. And I got to say, they absolutely love you guys. And to find a sponsor that is down with what Distorted View is doing is amazing. So definitely support them and, get some cool sex stuff. AdamandEve.com. 50% off using coupon code FREAK. And with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, up fucked up news right now. Yeah, I'm so fucking oblivious to the world around me, and that includes holidays that come every fucking year. I completely forgot that this past weekend was Labor Day, right, on Monday, yesterday. So that's why there was no show for non-paying members. There was a show for Sideshow Freaks, so if you want to check it out, sign up right now, superfreaksideshow.com. It's only $5 a month or $50 a year. It's DV's member site. Help support the program, keep this show going, including the free section. So the paying members are actually ensuring that you freeloaders are getting a show as well. So everyone say thank you to the paying members. But anyways, today's program is extended, so yet another reason to sign up. You'll get an additional, 10, 15 minutes of content. Today I've got a very special audio clip. Cheryl Murkowski is obsessed with Sylvia Brown. You know, the psychic
that talks like this.
She talks just like Cheryl Murkowski. Anyways, Sylvia has this ridiculous pay site, right? She has a special members website where you actually have to pay to receive content, which is... wait a second. It's a great idea. It's a great business model. Anyways, she calls it Sylvia's Inner Circle or something, and she does readings, I guess. Like, people can email in questions, and You can watch Sylvia, you know, give you a fortune telling or whatever she does. Anyways, Cheryl Murkowski is convinced that Sylvia is her sister. They sound a lot alike. And Cheryl has been submitting questions to Sylvia Brown, her inner circle, because one of Cheryl's listeners got her a membership to this site. And lo and behold, Sylvia Brown answered one of Cheryl's questions, and of course, it has something to do with her prolapse, with her big, fat, prolapsed asshole, ass-coont, or whatever. So I'm going to be reviewing that audio today. I promised Cheryl I would not watch it until I was recording the show, because she wanted to get my initial reaction to everything. So you guys can check that out. It'll be part of the extended show today. All right. Three quick stories, and then we'll get the hell out of here. First up, I love the headline of this story. Magic mushroom ingredient may ease end-of-life anxiety. So basically, the idea is to give cancer patients magic shrooms so they trip their fucking balls off and don't worry about dying. Because they're more concerned with their melting face and the evil leprechauns chasing them. I do have an example here of a cancer patient who has been given some magic mushrooms to ease the pain.
Oh, fucked up, you guys. Oh, my God. No,
Cancer's on, funny.
Sit down.
Wait, no.
No, sit down, dude.
This is Michael Jackson. Hell yeah.
Ew.
How do you feel?
Huh?
How do you feel?
I just chills on myself.
You drew on yourself always.
This is fucked up. My face is like melting.
Hey, what are you?
Watch out for the leprechauns.
Oh my god. Whoa, dude. Yeah.
I'm trying.
You're not trying to sit
down. I'm trying. Yeah, yeah. Dude, how do you stop?
She's walking around. She can't figure out how to sit down. All right, she's not on shrooms. It's actually Salvia.
No, I know. I'm fucked up. No, I'm fucked up, Eddie. Stop.
They don't know.
What?
You guys don't even know, huh?
Yeah.
You guys don't get what's funny to me.
Tell me.
What's funny? I'm not fucked up. No, I'm fucked up. Like, I can't feel that, and then I can feel that.
I can't feel that, and then I can feel that.
No, I can feel that. I can't feel that. Oh, my God. What the fuck?
She's slapping her leg, saying she can't feel it, and then she can feel it. Running into shit. All right, you get the idea. This treatment is way more fun than chemo, at least for the observer. All right, back to the story here. Terminally ill cancer patients struggling with anxiety may get some relief from a guided trip on the hallucinogenic drug, something. I don't know what that is. The study included 12 patients who took a small dose of that drug, the active ingredient in magic mushrooms. What is it? Psilocybin? While under the supervision of trained therapists. In separate sessions, the participants took a placebo pill, which had little effect on their symptoms. By contrast, 1 to 3 months after taking the drug, the patients reported feeling less anxious, and their overall mood had improved. Drugs are great. By the six-month mark, the group's average score on a common scale used to measure depression had declined by 30%, according to the study, which was published in the Archives of General Psychiatry. In a follow-up interview with the researchers, some patients said their experience with the drug gave them a new perspective on their illness, and it made them fly to the moon. They saw the rings of Saturn, and purple unicorns were dancing along them. What? All right. We were pleased with the results, said the lead researcher, Charles Grob, MD, a professor of psychiatry at Harbor UCLA Medical Center. Notably, the psilocybin did not aggravate the patient's anxiety or provoke any other unwanted effects, besides a slight increase in blood pressure and heart rate. Grob's findings are, quote, important because he's showing that you can administer these compounds safely to cancer patients with anxiety, says Roland Griffiths, PhD, a professor of psychiatry. Whatever. They're not substances that should be used recreationally or casually. How come cancer patients always get the good stuff? They get marijuana, now they're getting shrooms. Lucky bastards. Quote, I think we've established good grounds for continuing the research, Grob says. That's the goal right now, just to develop more studies. So there you go. Second story we have for you today. You remember the story of, what was his name, Joseph Fritzl? He was the crazy man who locked up his daughter in the basement and then raped her. His little rape toy. Well, now an American father has been accused of raping one of his daughters repeatedly and keeping another one locked in a tiny room for over a year. Jeffrey York is said to have ruled his home with fear and stopped his wife and several children from seeing any friends and family. The alleged abuse was discovered in December after York's wife, Danita, told police he had raped one of their daughters at their home in Madison Township, Ohio. She told authorities that they were all physically and mentally abused for years. When police arrived at the home, she told them that she and the seven children wanted to leave. The children, two boys and five girls, range in age from 3 months to 19 years old. I'm guessing the 19-year-old doesn't get raped so much anymore. She's all used up and he's moved on. York has been charged with 19 offenses ranging from rape to gross sexual conduct and child abuse. His arrest has echoes of Joseph Fritzl, the Austrian father who kept his daughter Elizabeth locked in a hidden room for years and repeatedly raped her. See, I don't agree with this guy. I think if you're going to take an idea from someone, you should then improve upon it. Add something. Make it your own. He's doing exactly the same thing as this Joseph Fritzl guy. That's plagiarism. Not entirely sure if you can plagiarize rape, but that's pretty much what this guy's doing. You know, instead of keeping her locked up in a tiny room in the basement, why not hog tie her or something? Leave her in the kitchen on display. Just something different. Spice it up a bit. Shocked U.S. investigators claim that one of the girls had been kept locked in a room no bigger than a wardrobe for a year. If I was one of the investigators, I would walk in and make a big theatrical yawn.
Oh, really? This is what you got? Oh, that's great. A lot of effort you put into that, huh?
The family was taken to a shelter for abused women where trained counselors were able to find out the details of the horrific living conditions allegedly imposed by 47-year-old York. The family appears to have been cut off from the world completely, said Detective Dan Borner. Sounds like boner. It's not a call, but they had no real support system and no way for the mother to leave. There were no friends to speak of. The abuse was constant. When the defendant would leave the house, he would always take one of the kids with him. There would always be that fear of the what if. York has denied all charges, but is being held in jail on a £160,000 bond. So there you go. And finally today, Michael Rance has had a bad couple of days. Yes, he will always remember his wedding night in Scotland. Why, you ask? Because before he went to leap on his bride, Amy, he leapt on a stage to serenade her. I wonder what song he was singing. Next time I fall in love, I'll know better what to do. Next time I fall in love. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Next time I fall in love. Next time I fall in love. Anyways, that song did not go over well because he accidentally fell and got his penis impaled by a rusty nail.
Ta-da!
In Comlongan Castle in Dumfries, Jesus Christ, Scotland, where Michael is stood on a bench, it collapses. He is damaged. What? This is such a weirdly written news story. Okay, all right. In Scotland, where Michael is stood on a bench, period, it collapses, period. He is damaged, period. He has pulled down his trousers to see his wound, period. He faints at the sight, says Amy. I thought he must have had too much to drink and went over to tell him to put it away. His cock. Then I saw all the blood and Michael started crying hysterically. Your husband's a pussy. He screamed, my balls hanging off. I couldn't believe the sight in front of me. He was ripped apart. Then he fainted. No one had seen anything like it, let alone at a wedding. They went to the hospital. Michael says, they spent ages stitching me up. I had 17 in all, and thankfully told me there wasn't permanent damage. So there you go. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, freak, speak to me. What is on your mind?
Jimmy Boo, this is Judy Butt from Texas. So I just had that STD test where they stick that little swab in your pee hole.
Not fun.
The whole time I was like, well, the dickhole guy liked it. Like, it can't be that bad. Maybe I'll actually enjoy it.
No, it is that bad.
Fuck no, that thing is fucking painful. And you try and pee afterwards, it's even worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just so I let you know, I'm not going to be sticking my finger in my pee hole, but you should try it on air and let us know how it goes. Thanks.
No, no, after that little swab, no, that's not a good idea. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, wow, I can't imagine a whole finger. Because if you ever have had an STD test, and I urge you all to get some because, you know, there are dirty people out there. Anyways. The swab is so tiny looking when they show it to you, and they don't stick it in very far, but when it's happening, it A, feels like an eternity, and B, it feels like it's been jammed all the way forcefully in your cockhole, even though it's just the tip, really. Very uncomfortable.
Jagu, Timmy Boo, Burning Sea Cat here, and I am very angry with Daniel Tosh because he used another clip that you have used. And it's the Tim James driving exams in, like, 12 languages.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, these are viral video clips, and I'm, you know, they make their way around the internet, and I'm sure everyone's seen them. There's this other show that's, like, on Cracked or something. I don't know, but that one is weird to me because those are a little more obscure clips. And a lot of them have been aired on Distorted View, like, years ago, and that one's a little weird to me. But I don't know. Whatever. Everyone can find these things online. I mean,
hey, Tim, Tone Deaf Sean here. Yes, I'm still behind like a week, and I'm sure you've probably gotten a dozen calls about this. But the first time you talked about the iDoser, I went and I downloaded them through a
Bitcoin.
I wasn't gonna fucking pay for them.
Right.
And they don't do anything.
Of course not. It's a scam, man.
Hey, Tim. So I was kind of wondering about the weird postings of the shows, but then it dawned on me that Distorted View is kind of like sex. Like, it really doesn't matter when I get it, just as long as I get it.
Yes, you get it. It's like the day when I, like, if it's Wednesday and I post the show like at 11 a.m., that's still very early. You know, most programs. I don't know what the hell I'm trying to say.
Hey, man.
Today's show should be posted earlier.
TME. If he was a horse, man, he'd eat. Hey.
All right, next up here.
Hey, Jimmy Shaniqua Shibun Henson. Sideshow Freak, Room of the Stool calling in. I was listening to some older shows.
Yeah.
And you were talking about getting ordained to marry some furries.
Yeah.
So I did some research, and I got ordained. I am now a high priest of mammalogy. So, yeah, I am the high priest of mammalogy.
I wonder if those guys are still together, or the guy and the girl who were going to get married. I don't think they ever did.
Hey, Tim, this is Paul from St. Paul, and I just never knew you had such a mean streak, man, because Corey's been in retirement less than a week now, and on your September 1st show, you provided enough sampler material. You caught my sampler on fire already. I'm not even up to the Satanists yet. I mean, a pedophile magician, a Christian sex video, a retard singing, and a criminal named Frankenstein. That is brilliant, man. That's the way to get Corey back. Keep it up, all right? Take care.
I'm not getting Corey back. I'm just doing my show. I miss Corey. He's going to be posting another show later this month for Sideshow Freak.
It's true, Tim. Sideshow Freak, Dr. Barry Bad Touch, yada, yada, yada.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, I believe you have Netflix streaming, do you not? If so, you should definitely check out The IT Crowd. It's a British comedy show, but it is funny as shit. If you're only going to check out one episode to see if you like it or not, I recommend Season 2, Episode 2.
Uh-huh.
They go to a musical called Gay, the Gay Musical.
All right, I'll check out The IT Crowd.
Jagu, Tim, Haley's Comet calling up with two quick points, and then I'll get the hell out of here. First of all, what's with the hate from the Puerto Rican fat man? I don't get it. I know he can't be mad at me for doing anything with his mother or sister because, you know, I've never dated or slept with any Puerto Rican women. And it'd be really kind of screwy for someone to be pissed at me for not sleeping with their sister. So I don't know where that's coming from. I don't reciprocate, you know. Anyway, second point. Okay. The diabetic piss whiskey. The sugar from the urine is not being used to sweeten the whiskey. What's happening is the sugar from the urine is being consumed by brewer's yeast to produce the alcohol that is then distilled. So I just wanted to make that quick clarification on what the point was of the sugary urine.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the information.
Hey, Tim. It's Sideshow Member Spider. I'm calling about that news article you read about the, I think it was like some Hindu woman or something with barbed wire around her ankle and how it was digging in. Yeah, that news story was one of the only news stories you've read that I actually popped a boner from and orgasmed 45 minutes later.
Wow.
Yeah, that actually sounds like something I'd want to do concerning. But,
well, I'm glad I could give you some sex tips. We're barbed wire.
Tim, it's Zach from Florida. It's 4:58 in the fucking morning, and I just downloaded the torrent of a couple of those iDoser things on MP3 form.
Yeah.
And I was about ready to pass the fuck out. There's one called French Roast that is apparently supposed to be a morning pick-me-up bullshit. I was just about ready to pass the fuck out. I play it on my iPod. Suddenly, I'm wide fucking awake. I thought I was getting, like, a placebo effect. I'm fucking scared.
Scared. Jesus Christ, idiots, all of you. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the show. Why don't you guys email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-666-OH-GOD. It's an OH-GOD. Next time I fall in love, I'll know better what to do. All right. Vote for us a podcast, Ali. Subscribe via iTunes. If you are not yet Sideshow Freaks, sign up right now because I've got some additional content for you. About 10 to 15 minutes worth. Sign up right now. You can catch that. Otherwise, I will be back tomorrow for the Wednesday program. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Hello, my treacherous friends. Thank you for joining me here tonight. I brought you all here to discuss, as I must, how pleasant it's been. Hello, my treacherous friends. Thank you for joining me here tonight. I brought you all here to discuss, as I must, how pleasant it's been this demise.
Glass meat clocks, glass meat clocks, eat your time, tell the meat. Glass meat clocks, glass meat clocks, a topsy-turvy world where 12 is ground beef. Hamburger is midnight. Glass meat clocks. Glass meat clocks. A topsy-turvy world. Glass meat clocks.